Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. One of the big things that we have to do is figure out what our whys are. And one of the questions I do ask on the show, like a question we should be asking ourselves more often, a lot of people on the show just say like, why? Like, why are you doing what you're doing? So finding that why is really important. And we're going to focus on how to do that. Find the why that is fueling you and that can fuel you into the future. So today's guest specializes in organizational culture and leadership. He is the co-author of Find Your Why, a practical guide on how to discover the why for any individual, team, or organization. He's also a guide of the online Why Discovery course. And after years of developing content to help Simon share some of his ideas, today's guest began speaking and facilitating workshops in 2012 to help shift people's perceptions about leadership and culture. So today's guest for episode 244 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than David Mead. David, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Mark. It's nice to be here.
David, I'm really looking forward to this episode because, like, we know that the why is important, but we have to be able to find that why in order to tap into all the fruits that it bears for us. So we're going to dive into that during this episode, but I'd like to get a little background. So can you talk about why you decided to write the book, Find Your Why, and just some of the backstory behind that?
Sure. So Simon wrote the book Start With Why in 2009, about the same time, the same year that his TED Talk came out. And it was full of examples and information and science and all this stuff behind this concept of purpose and the golden circle, which he discovered about 12 years ago. And, you know, that book was out for years and years and years, and it just kept selling more and more and more copies. And the biggest, I don't know if it's complaint, but the biggest sort of question that people had after reading the book, they were like, well, I mean, that's great. I get it. But like, how do I actually do that? Like, how do I find my why as an individual or as a company? And so we knew that that demand was there for a long time. And, you know, we spent the last few years really refining and working on the why discovery process just to make it as, you know, as efficient and as impactful as it can be. And last year was just the right time. Actually, we started writing it closer to 3 years ago, but that was the right time to finally put something together in written form and get it out to the world. So it's basically take the workshops that we take people through. We just wrote it down so that anybody can do it.
And I really like this idea where this book is based on one thing that a lot of customers wanted to see in the other product. One thing where after they really enjoyed the book, Start With Why, you have people going through it. They say, hey, I want this. And you provide it to them, which is really great to do because it's tempting to think so much about acquisition, but not really thinking about treating your existing customers right, getting some of those repeat sales. And what I want to ask you now, I mean, like, you wrote the book Find Your Why to help people with discovering their whys, but can you share with us a little bit how we can actually find our whys with what we're doing?
Sure. So one quick distinction to make for those of your listeners who maybe are new to the concept or to the word why. We talk about it in two different ways. So there's what we say the why with like a small W and the why with a capital W. Small W is what a lot of people just naturally ask out of curiosity. Like, why do I eat this cereal over this other cereal? Like it's not necessarily anything that has a whole lot of meaning. It's just more of a question of curiosity. The why with a capital W is it's a noun. It's not a question. It is a thing. It is a purpose, a cause, a belief. It is something that is bigger than yourself. It is the thing that drives you to do the work that you do, to show up like the way that you show up with your family, your friends, and the community, all of these different things. It's the sort of that bigger picture, that overarching just cause or purpose that really drives everything that we do. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about the why, is the why with a capital W, the thing, not the question. Although we ask it as a question, but there's a difference. It's more than just being curious about, you know, like, why did I buy this car versus this other car, right? So how we actually discover this purpose for ourselves, this thing called why, is we look backwards. And whether that be for an individual or for an organization, we look to our past and we pinpoint the times where we have felt at our natural best. Basically what we're looking for is the most impactful times of our lives, or the most impactful times of our organization's existence, where we're really proud of how we showed up. We felt fulfillment and meaning, and we wanted to be doing what we were doing, and we felt good when we were doing those things. And what we're looking for is those, you know, those stories, those experiences might be completely different. Some are from childhood, some are from college, some are from work, some are from, you know, our personal lives. But what they all have in common is these patterns, these themes. There are things that continue to show up over and over and over again in these impactful times in our lives. And that's really the basis or the seed that our why grows from. So it's looking back. It's not aspirational. It's not looking forward 10 years and saying, this is the person I want to be in 10 years. Not that there's anything wrong with goals or aspirations by any means. But the why already lives within us. It's a discovery process. It's not something that we make up. It's something that's already there. We just have to find what it is. And that comes from, again, linking those impactful times in our past and figuring out what's the contribution we were making? What's the difference, the impact that we were having on the lives of the people around us, or what impact were people having on us that made such a difference to us that we remember it even to this day?
And I really like how you emphasize the why is already inside of us. It's not something that's like a projection or something like where you ought to be 10 years from now. And one of the things that I also want to address is that when you come up with your why, it's something that like you obviously figure out through brainstorming, through a lot of reflection, but come a few weeks later, a few months later, maybe some challenges come along the way and different things happen, we can sometimes lose focus of our why. And I'm wondering how can we continue to stay focused on our why, even when it's not as easy on some days and stretches as others?
Sure. This is a practice. This is a process. It takes time. It's a journey. It's not something that we master in a day or a week or a month. It's a skill, and it's, you know, even though it is within us and we naturally do it when we're at our best, none of us is at our best all the time. And so, you know, the opportunity that we have is to continue to remind ourselves of it. You know, some of the things that we talk about and some of the things that I do, I joined Simon's team almost 9 years ago. I still have my why and my hows on my computer so I can look at them every day, so I can see them. They're always there. We also, you know, also talk a lot about if you can find a symbol or a color or a photo or something that reminds you of your why, just a visual representation of what it is, just remind you that this is, you know, this is the thing that's important. This is the thing that should be driving and inspiring everything that I do. Doesn't mean we'll be perfect, but the more we can be conscious of it, when we go into certain situations or when we, you know, interact with people or when we have the opportunity to show up somewhere, when we're sourcing ourselves from our why, we'll find that we enjoy it much more. We're more fulfilled when we do that. We're doing it for the right reason. And in those times where we haven't lived our why, when we do something that's not really us at our best, it's important to reflect back and think, okay, so that didn't feel good. What part of my, you know, what part of my why was missing? What hows, or my, what we can talk about hows later if you want to, but the hows are sort of the core values in action, the daily behaviors, the things that we actually do, the ways we behave that allow us to bring our why to life. And if we're not living in line with our why and our hows, that's when we feel like we're not at our best. That's how we feel like, ah, I could have done better in that situation.
And I would like to follow up on the hows, because like the why is obviously the starting point. You start there and then you figure out how you're going to carry out the why, how you're going to continue to live by or be fueled by the why. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about how to make the hows happen, finding time in the day to do them, for instance, or just some other ways we can make those happen.
Sure. So the cool thing about the hows is when you go through a why discovery process, whether it be our process or another, there's certainly a lot of other ways that you can, you know, find purpose and that kind of stuff. Through those stories that are told and the themes and the patterns that emerge from those stories, a couple of those will end up as part of your why, and the rest of them will be good candidates for your house. So you'll already have the data, which is kind of cool. You don't have to do any extra work to find your house. So I'll give you a tangible example. I'll give you my why and hows, and maybe that'll help kind of solidify things. So my why is to propel people forward so they can make their mark on the world. So anything I can do, whether it be, you know, at home with my kids, on stage in front of an audience, if I'm running a workshop, if I'm writing a blog article or a book or whatever it is, my intent, or, you know, what really inspires me is if I can help people through what I know, through my experience, through what I've learned, if I can help them just to be a little bit better than they were yesterday, and to take one step forward, to propel them one step forward to be the amazing person that they can be, like, that's really what fills me up. So that's my why. At the same time, it's really hard for me to wake up in the morning and get out of bed and think, okay, I'm going to go propel people forward today. Like, it's inspiring to me and I love it, but tangibly, it's a hard thing to put your finger on. Like, I don't know exactly how to do that. And so this is where the hows come in. And again, these are the more tactical daily behaviors that when I go into a situation, when I go into a conversation with my wife or my kids, or when I run a workshop or whatever it is, I can look at these behaviors and actions, and I can go in knowing that if I act in these ways, I will naturally end up propelling people forward. So a couple of my hows are to meet people where they are. That means figure out what they already know, what's their starting point, and start there with them and get on the same level with them so that they can actually understand and process what I am hoping to give to them. Another one is do the little things that make a big difference, right? Sometimes we think we got to do these big things to propel people forward, but sometimes it's the tiny little thing. It's the phone call, it's the smile, it's the nice comment. That's enough to help propel people forward in the case of my why. Take a stand for what's right. Like, to propel people forward, I have to stand for what I believe in. I got to be strong. I got to be confident in what I'm doing. And so these are just a couple of examples of when I show up in this way, I end up propelling people forward so that they can go make their mark on the world. Make sense?
Yes. And like, I really like your why. Like, I really like that theme of propelling others and having an impact that aligns with a lot of the things that I'm trying to do through my content as well. And one of the things I was thinking about is like, we're doing this from like a business as well. Like, we're growing it into a brand, our like messaging, our like just our message that we want to share with everyone. And part of having a business, especially when you get deeper into it, is building a team around you, people who are going to help you spread your message. In some cases, they're going to be the sole person in charge of certain areas. Like, for instance, like, some person's first impression of your business may not necessarily be you, but it could be one of the people on your team. So how can we get the people on our team connected with the why behind what we're doing with our brands?
The first thing is, we ourselves, if we're the entrepreneur, if we're the business owner, we have to be really clear on what the why for our company is. And what happens, you know, especially with smaller companies or startups or solopreneurs, is the why for your company is your own personal why. Your company essentially is one of your what's. It is one of the things that you do to bring your why to life. It's just an extension of you. And so the why for the company is the same as the why of the founder or the one who started it. And so that alone gives you a bit of an advantage if you're, you know, because you will be more passionate about the why of your organization because it aligns so closely, or it's the same thing as your why. And so it will naturally sort of exude from you. And that's the benefit that a lot of, you know, really small organizations have, is that there's this feeling, there's this energy that comes from the founder of the organization. And it's just, it's sort of contagious, and people love coming to work. And, you know, maybe they're not getting paid much or anything at all to get this thing started, and they put in, you know, long hours, and they make all this effort for something that they believe in because they just feel that energy and that passion, and they're drawn to that from the founder, who's why it is. What's so important, though, is to clearly, not only to be able to feel that and be inspired by it, but to be able to articulate it and talk about it. Because as the organization grows, as you bring on more people, as that separation happens between the founder and everybody else, all of a sudden we're not all having lunch in the conference room together anymore. Now the founder has hired somebody to hire everybody instead of hiring everybody herself or himself. And so all of a sudden there's this disconnect between, you know, this energy that the founder has and everybody else. And if you don't have that why clearly articulated, if you don't talk about it, if you don't tell stories around it, if it's not at the front of people's minds, it very quickly gets lost. And all of a sudden people say things like, man, it just doesn't feel like it used to around here anymore. So it's really, really important to have that clarity, to talk about it, and to back this thing up with stories and experiences that prove that this is what your why is. And when people can see that, and they can see that the things that they do at work every day are in line with what the company says its why is, that's where you get the buy-in. That's where you get the loyalty, because it's not just something that the people say. It's not just something we have written on the wall. Like, I can actually see it playing out in the things that we do, the way that we run our business, the processes that we have, the reward systems that we have, how we hire people. All of these things have to be integrated. And when people can see that you're consistent with what you say you believe and what you actually do, that's how you get people to buy in.
And I really like the theme of action speaking louder than the words. Like, it's not just good enough to like tell people what the why is. It's, as you mentioned, integrating it within the company culture, integrating in all the decisions and actions that go on within the company. And you also talked about how at some point, like as a company grows bigger, the founder, like it's not like everyone's eating lunch in the conference room. Like, that's something important to think about. Maybe for some people, they may not be thinking about it right now. For others, they may be hitting that point where they got to hire a lot of people that are not able to go to all of them. And that's where having a why, it's essential early, and it gets essential in different ways as the company grows. But that why, continuing to have a strong focus, a strong foundation for any brand. But one of the things I want to address also is that some people, like, they may have difficulty with finding their why. They may have difficulty with integrating it within their brands and their actions. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, what do you believe holds most people back from being able to find their whys? And for the people who have already found their whys, like, why is it not being like fully integrated into their lives yet?
There are hundreds or thousands of answers to those questions, but I'll try to keep them as general as I can. The most difficult thing about finding your why to begin with is putting the feeling that it is, or the belief that you have, or the inspiration that you feel into language. The way our brain works, our why, which is it's a belief, it's a feeling, comes from the part of our brain that controls those things, the feelings and the emotions that we have, but it doesn't control language. And so there's a disconnect between the part of our brain that feels these things and the part of our brain that talks about them. So it's not impossible. It's just difficult to make that connection, which is why most people don't do the work of finding their why, because it's just hard to do. And if you don't know exactly how to go about doing it, what tends to happen is that you just sort of revert to the what's or the how's. Like, a lot of people talk about, you know, their values. They know obviously what they do, what they sell, product or service that they offer. And they know, you know, some of the values that are important to them, like, you know, integrity and honesty and teamwork and diversity and all this stuff. Which, it's nice, but I mean, it doesn't really mean anything, because it's not, it's just kind of the things that you think you should have on the wall. So that's thing number one for your first question is, it's really hard to put this stuff into words, which keeps a lot of people from actually discovering it to begin with. Now, the good news is, especially, you know, in the last few years, there is no shortage of ways to help you go through that process. Again, we have our process. We have our Why Discovery course, Find Your Why. The book obviously is designed to help you do this, but we're not the only ones out there. There are many ways that people have used to discover and to articulate their purpose. So the good news is there's a lot of resources out there. To your second question, what keeps people from actually doing it or implementing it or really fully integrating it into what they're doing? A couple of answers come to mind. One is we're used to doing things starting with what instead of starting with why, which means we're used to putting more focus on, you know, how much product are we selling? What are the numbers? What are the metrics look like? You know, what are the percentages? And that's kind of the way that we're used to doing things. And so we often build systems and processes and procedures to measure and to track those things. And we don't really have anything that measures and tracks the why, which is much harder to do because it's an intangible, it's a feeling, right? And so it's not impossible, but it's more difficult to measure those things. And so we tend to lean more toward the hard data or the metrics that we have, and that's how we measure our growth. That's how we measure our success. And so it's much more difficult when you have those systems and processes in place, which are designed to keep things the same. From a numbers and a metrics perspective, that's the way we're supposed to look at things. It's difficult to overlay the why on top of those things because it's a different type of focus. It's a different way to look at things. Now, I'm not saying that we should abandon the numbers and the metrics and the charts and all those kind of things. Those are obviously really important. The key is to find the balance, which is what's the relationship that we have with those numbers and those metrics. Like when we're looking at the quarterly sales report, for example, are we looking at that and saying, you know, wow, look at all the money we made this quarter. That's great. Let's see if we can increase that by 10% next year. Instead, we look at that number and we say, wow, look at the amount of fuel that we just gained for our business, which has this great higher cause or purpose, this why. What would it look like? What more could we do if we increase that number by 10%? How much more impact could we have by living our why, right? So I'm not saying get rid of it, but it's just bring it into balance. So I think those couple of things, again, are the things that keep people from finding it to begin with. And secondly, makes it tougher to integrate.
And I mean, I really like the systems that you have already within your brand. Like in some cases, it may be a little difficult to make that adjustment, but if you think about the power of making that adjustment, not just how it affects business and how it affects you, but how it affects the people on your team, it's easier to make those adjustments. So think about the long-term benefit to investing a few hours, days, weeks, and even months, depending on how deeply laid out the systems are, and being able to integrate your why within those systems. And that's just one of the it is a challenge, depending on how deep your system is. Challenges are a part of any journey. And with that in mind, David, I wonder if you could share with us one big challenge you faced on your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Sure. So mine is very personal to what I do. So I, for the last, 6 years of the roughly 9 years that I've been with Simon, I have been out on the road speaking, facilitating workshops, doing all these things shoulder to shoulder with Simon. And one of the biggest challenges I think that I had personally was when I first started doing this, Simon was it. Now we have, a handful of people that go out and, offer keynotes and workshops and facilitate and do what I do on our team. But back then it was just me. And so one of the huge challenges I faced was trying to be Simon and thinking that I had to be Simon when I was out there in front of a group, because that's what they wanted to see. Right. And a valuable lesson that I learned from that is that I don't need to be Simon, and I have a very different perspective, and I have a very different, I come at this work from a different position than Simon does, where, he is the thought leader. He's the one with his head in the clouds. He's the one with all these ideas. And I used to think I got to be like him if I'm going to be successful doing this. And what I found was that if I approach it from where I actually come from, which is I was a guy in the audience that heard Simon speak before anybody knew who he was, really. And I have that perspective of I'm just a guy in some company that actually wants to do something different and make a change and sort of start from the you know, kind of work from the bottom up and inspire people, you know, where I sit. And that's what a valuable lesson that I learned, which is you can do this no matter where you are. You don't have to be, you know, the thought leader. You don't have to be the one who is, you know, leading the movement or leading the charge. If you're inspired by something, bring that perspective, bring the lessons that you learned, bring the light that you have from that angle and shine it.
And I really like that challenge. And I feel like it's something that some people, like, they can relate to. I mean, like, it's like you have a more unique situation where like Simon is the face of the Start Your Why brand, and people, like, when they think Start With Why, they think about Simon. But instead of you trying to be Simon, you just you were yourself, which is something that I feel like more of us need to be doing. And like when you see some influencer with like a lot of followers, or you see some influencer doing something that's working really well for them, don't just like become that influencer. Do it in your own way and using your own perspective, as David was able to do. And instead of trying to just portray Simon, David was just himself, and that made it a lot easier and allowed him to deliver more value to his audiences. And one of the best ways to deliver value and to actually a little more specific to consume value is to read as many books as possible. So with that in mind, David, can you share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us?
Sure. So I'm one of those guys who doesn't read as much as I need to, but I will give you a couple of books at least. One, and I'll obviously all of Simon's books, those go without saying, but another one that I think is really great, especially for new leaders, young leaders, that are starting a new company, is a book called Permission to Screw Up by Kristen Hadid. And the thing that I love about it is that she writes this book. Basically, it's the experience of her starting a company in college. And rather than talking about all her successes and everything she did right, she talks about all her screw ups and everything she did wrong and what she learned from all of those. And I just love the perspective that she has. Another one that's sort of on the other end of the spectrum is called Everybody Matters. It's by Bob Chapman, and I forget his co-author, but it's a story of a manufacturing company that implemented the concept of culture and taking care of people first, and which is, you know, unheard of in the manufacturing industry for the most part. And it's this huge, you know, multi-billion-dollar multinational organization that has implemented this at a huge scale. And it's just the reason that I love it, it's because they're such an unlikely candidate. A lot of times we think about this stuff of like purpose and culture is for the, you know, sexy, you know, tech startup in Silicon Valley, but it applies to any organization anywhere as long as there are human beings involved. And I just I love that book. So I'll give you those two.
David, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. Those will all be in the show notes, markbrady.com/E244. You guys can also get your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets. Just pay for shipping at markbrady.com/book. And before I wrap up, David, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I'm not exactly sure how I would word that, but it's a question around, am I spending my time on the most valuable thing right now? I think it's so easy with the many distractions that we have to get pulled away by, even if it's something good, like, you know, email or things that we have to do, quote unquote, have to do. But, you know, when we find ourselves getting distracted by things all the time, it keeps us from really making progress on the things that are most important. So I think the question is what I'm doing right now really the most valuable thing I can be doing right now?
David, thanks for sharing with us that great question of focused on to be a little more conscious of all the actions we're taking. And thank you for sharing all of your great insights throughout this episode. If you guys want to learn more about David, one of the best ways to do that, grab your copy of Find Your Why. That book will be in the show notes, which again is markbrady.com/E244. But David, I can't thank you enough for coming on Breakthrough Success today to share all of your great advice and wisdom with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
You got it, Mark. Really nice to be here.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn